It is Thursday the 16th of May, and this is episode 164 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another episode. I'm Chris, and as ever, joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening. I'm giggling.
I've been burping all the way up to the beginning of this podcast, and now Ian's caught on.
For some reason, as you're saying 164, or Thursday 16th of May, I thought you're going to say it's Theresa May, and it's made me giggle.
It's not Theresa May, I promise. No. That. You know, not even on Tuesday when she gets dressed up.
So how are you, my friend? How are you?
I'm very good. I've had an amazing week of catching up on Game of Thrones, and I am in love with that show. I haven't watched any of it, and I've literally watched two seasons in one weekend. That's a lot of TV.
It is, but it is the best thing.
Oh, it's brilliant. The only problem now is I've caught up with all my on-demand catch-ups, and I'm missing the first three episodes of season three. So I cannot watch the start. I've got episodes like 4, 5, 6, and 7, but I haven't got 1, 2, and 3.
Don't
That's
worry,
frustrating.
I've got your back.
Nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here. Move on.
Dropbox, and I'll send you a mail.
Move on. Nothing to see here. Never got said. We've actually got some news. I should ask how you are, actually.
Ah, great.
Good. Let's have some news then. Google have been talking at us. They've been talking at us for an awfully long time, 3.5 hours their keynote this year, but only one of them.
Yeah, but last year they had two keynotes about an hour and a half long each.
Yeah,
and so people were like, there's too many keynotes, it's too much.
And then now they've got one, but they compressed it and everyone's going, okay, there's people asleep in here.
I mean, how numb must your arse be after 3.5 hours of that?
Especially as they didn't get any gadgets this year. They got their Chromebook Pixel.
Which bizarrely was worth more than all the goodies last year together.
Yeah, because the Pixel's quite expensive, isn't it? It's like the ultimate Chromebook. It's like
£1,300, I think, or $1,500.
Yeah, that's right. So that's probably why they've got a stock of them, because no one's buying them.
Yeah, and a lot of people were like, ooh, that's nice. But then it wasn't new. As in, it wasn't something...
Not
it was,
shiny it wasn't glass, was it?
Everybody wanted... the new Nexus 7, which nobody's seen before, and we all get to walk away, or a brand new phone, which, you know, everybody was predicting, oh, Nexus 5 will be there. Mm. And it wasn't.
No. But what they did turn at Google I.O., a developer conference, wouldn't you know, they turned it into actually talking about developers, which upset a lot of people, I think. You know, journalists are getting quite used to going to these things and just getting swooned and wooed and... getting told about these nice shiny things, but actually they ended up talking about APIs and services and new development environments and stuff like that. And to be honest, I think some of those journalists got a bit bored.
And I think as well, this is probably the most realistic I.O. there's been. If you go back to previous I.O.s, they promise so much and really don't deliver. This is one that I think they've, you know, for me, I actually got a lot out of it. I thought, oh, there's lots of really exciting things.
And rolled out all the updates already, kind of thing. So they've put the new platforms in place and they've actually rolled out like Hangouts and stuff we're going to talk about in a minute. So they started as ever with some stats, and we've had 900 million Android activations and 48 billion app downloads and about £2.50 in revenue.
Pretty much. And all that revenue went to Microsoft to pay for their Surface adverts, because that's what we confirmed 2 weeks ago. That is now fact.
Is that right? Yeah.
Everybody else does it. So why not? It's fact.
It's absolute fact. Fact in our universe. So that was their kind of stats. I'm sure they came up with lots of other stats. And have I actually sat down and watched 3.5 hours of a keynote? No. No, I haven't.
I mean, I came in last night and it was 2 hours through the keynote, and I'd left to go and play Batman for a couple of hours, and before I left, my Twitter was up to date. I came back to 800 tweets.
Yes,
and it was
like
okay, so that's bankrupt. I am not looking through any of that.
So I've gone to sort of summary sites and stuff like that, and our show notes, which are quite handy if you want to go and look at our show notes. They've put in place Play Game Services, which is pretty much the equivalent of the what's the iOS one called? Game Center.
Game Center.
Yes. So now you can do real time and turn based multiplayer. Although the demo went a bit wrong apparently, but basically it coordinates games across the whole platform, which is great.
Yes, and you'll have leaderboards, and it lets you do achievements, and it lets you do friends.
And cloud and saves.
And cloud saves. And I guess the one kind of goal point, it's not just Android. This is across iOS and web.
So it's any game that wants... Because there are several services on even on Apple, aren't there? So
there are, but I think Game Center's kind of... It's kind of got out. Most people. Yeah. And it's still, I get a bit annoyed. There's a great game. It was going to be my pick tonight, but that can wait till next week because there is too much tonight. And already the leaderboards have been hacked. And it's like this... You know, I think back to MotoGP and when we had all those crazy times, and you get a lot of value out of seeing, you know, where am I in the world? You know, am I competitive or not? And then someone on your hacks it. But anyway, I think it's a really good step for Google in this side of things. The cross-platform gaming could be quite exciting.
Yes, we got new APIs for the Google Play services. Like the exciting ones being that the fact we've now got geofencing similar to iOS. But also activity recognition. So if you're up to something, then your phone's sort of kind of understanding from its jiggling.
Pretty much. And it felt like they've almost got APIs for like Fitbit type software. So that'll be interesting to see.
I mean, and also hooked into all the kind of personal stuff. So I think I'm right in saying you can do things like remind me next time I'm with Ian that. And then, you know, with a set of reminder, and it knows that you're close to each other, as it were, because it's got that information, and therefore it can, it can set reminders on a personal level, which is quite clever.
It is, and I think, I mean, as we'll see as you go through more of the announcements, a lot of this was all about Google getting smarter, you know, and actually, you know, really intelligent kind of services starting
not
to spring
just getting
out now.
Smarter. Overruling the world.
Oh, don't do that.
They're gonna destroy us. They know everything.
We'll come on to that.
They know everything.
They don't.
Well, they're trying to. it's, you know what it kind of all reminded me of, and the direction it's going in is very much Minority Report. If you're in that show, whenever they walk into a shop and it kind of scan their eyes, and it was like, oh, hello, Mister, we got these offers for you, and it's pretty much like that because they've got, you know, like the geofencing and the stuff like that, so they know where you are and what you're doing.
But it feels like that a bit now. If you search, you know, you search on a website, for example, for a product. And then you go and hit another website and it's like, you know, you're interested in these things. And that still feels really creepy to me.
But that's all web-based, but this is taking that concept way further. And also...
Sure.
Oh, Mr. Hutchinson, I see your email that you've just come in, you've booked flights and, you know, they span a lot of places. It's not, you know...
Well, I'm sure next week you're going to get, hello, Mr. Hutchinson, did you know you could buy Game of Thrones in Blu-ray?
That's what it's going to come down to. they also announced their new streaming music service called Music All Access, or Google Play Music All Access, to give it its full title.
Catchy.
It's kind of using its existing music service that it offers you, your own library in the cloud, but kind of saying you could subscribe and then listen to all of our tracks.
Pretty much.
You don't have to own them. You can just subscribe and listen to them all.
And I've been far more impressed with the music I've uploaded on Google Play than I have on iTunes Match.
As we've talked before, it doesn't work. And yep, Google Match does work.
it just works. Yeah. And
you can play it anywhere. You just load up the app or have a browser, open it, and off you go.
Yep.
Tunes and in the gym.
And this is pretty much the same. And as Spotify, you know, so you pay, you know, $10 a month. It's US only, we should say. And I know we usually try and stick to UK, but it's coming here. $10 a month. If you register before June 30th, you get it for $8 a month. And there's not much more to say apart from its arrival to Spotify. Time will tell whether they've got all the content. I think they've only signed up with two providers.
No, I think they've now signed up with three. I'm not sure about that. Okay. I think they did a late signing with another providers to get nearly all the music catalogue. So, great. And it's Spotify does need competition, I guess. But you can do other things. You can do things like creating your radio station. So they've thought about discovery. I mean, Spotify has moved on. It's a great service now. So they've got a lot to live up to, really. But I'm sure they've got the resources to do it, haven't they, really?
Definitely. And just one thing on that. I mean, it's Android only at the moment and web. But they didn't rule out bringing it to other platforms. which I think, I mean, we're seeing everything else almost that they're bringing out hitting other platforms.
It seems to be now all the providers are hitting everything everywhere. And
but one of the key things for last night, well, apart from Apple, but one of the key things last night was like they really emphasised the services and how you can get it anywhere and they want to be anywhere. And I think it's just natural that, you know, 6 months from now, there'll be an iOS app out.
Really got the impression they were coming back to their core of, let's stop these bloody arguments. Let's just get on with doing what we like doing. We don't like these arguments. We want to get on with the developing. We're geeks. We like developing stuff. And they seem to be doing that. They've kind of...
I think so. Yeah. I'm a little bit on the fence, but I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Google turns this Galaxy S4 into a Nexus phone. What's that all about?
Basically, they're for $650, you can buy an S4. But instead of all the crapware that you get on the Samsung, it'll just be vanilla Android.
Okay.
So they're promising updates a lot quicker. It's also the bootloader's unlocked. So if you want to go and, you know, do what you like, so if you're a developer and you want to put anything you like on it, you can do. So a lot of people were like, ooh.
So it's the good S4 hardware without all the S4 gumph.
Yeah. And there's no doubt the S4 hardware is fantastic. But a lot of the issues were things like, and I think it was actually on BBC Watchdog this week, which I don't watch, but I picked up in some of the, you know, postings today. They were complaining about you're buying a 16 gig phone, or is it 16 and 32, or is it just 16? But the usable space when you actually get it is under 8 gig because of all the software that's installed, and you can't uninstall it. And Samsung have actually responded today and say we will be providing ways of either removing certain, you know, bits of software, or we'll provide you with an option of buying a phone without some of this.
Right.
Well, I don't know if that's just the fact that Google's doing it and they can say, look, there's a Samsung X4 with nothing on it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. So maybe it all ties together now, yeah. So,
but I actually got a lot of whoops from the developer audience. Because they see that...
Maybe they were looking for one of those given out free.
maybe. But I think the problem is if you buy an HTC or a Samsung, it's got all the guff on top, and people are really looking for that. I mean, that's why I bought an Nexus 7.
I think now Android has filled in so many of the blanks that it had, and there's so many of the deficiencies that it had, that I think the stuff on top is now fairly redundant. I assume that people are so embedded into it now, as in, you know, HTC like their touch sensor, and you know, Samsung like all these touch whiz, whatever they call them, and they've put too much time in to sort of drop them. But actually Android, you know, vanilla Android is pretty much all you need now.
Yeah, and I think Samsung's kind of like jump in the shark moment was having to provide an easy mode for their latest phone. Mm. It's like that tells a story.
Yeah, it does. It says you shouldn't need one of them.
Yeah.
Google also moved out into the education market. They're taking on Apple in the education market. So Google Play for Education trialing at the moment.
Yep.
Onto some big ones. Google Plus, they've redesigned it, and so they've rolled it all out. So they've moved away from their old design, and it's gone card based, if you like. So even the website is now on sort of squares, and it kind of nicely formats itself. Look a bit more like Pinterest, really.
It does, and it's certainly, there's a lot more information. It's a lot more dense than it used to be. You used to just have that single stream and saw almost like only maybe like one or two posts at a time.
Yep.
And lots of white space. Instead, there's a lot of posts, and I found it's nice but quite distracting at first.
Yeah, it's kind of, and it summarizes things, and the blocks now can reveal more information, can't they? I think do they turn over?
When you put a post up, so I put a post up on Google Plus saying I really like it, auto tags. So based on the content, if you put a photo up, I think the example they gave was Eiffel Tower, they'll auto tag it with that. And if you hover over it, there'll also be related tags. But if you click on it, then the card spins round, and it's basically using that as a hashtag search. So it'll bring back other content based on that. Which is a nice way of actually getting, you know, if you look at some of the Google Plus postings that are coming out, or sort of the IO posts, you know, people are putting it up, it's been auto-tagged, you click on it, and then you're getting lots of other views on the same feature, you know, so Hangouts that we're going to come on and talk about, you know, was getting tagged, you click on it, and you get other people saying what they thought about Hangouts.
And we're coming to Hangouts, so I mean, these are all things that will drive people to end up on Google Plus without actually knowing they've ended up on Google Plus, and maybe that gets some traction. Still a little unconvinced, but yeah, it's like I say, it's the nicest bit of software that never gets used.
And Photos got a real big update as well, you know. So we've got a separate post coming up, just talking about how they've merged your different cloud storage options under Google. So you've now just got one content, and it doesn't matter if it's in Gmail or Photos or whatever, you've now got 15 gig. But Photos within Google Plus, they're now, and again, this will need to be a let's test it and see. If you throw up 600 images, it'll look through, it'll throw away the bloody ones, can almost hide them away and surface up the ones that it determines are the best photos and put them up as the ones at the start of the album and the ones that people are interested in.
It checks that people's got their eyes open. People have got their eyes open, that they're smiling, that everyone's looking at the camera. Can identify who these people are. It can check, I don't know, what they ate for dinner. Probably it seems to be checking. It can see where they are in the world. So if it notices a landmark, it can tag you. It's kind of frightening.
And the thing is, it's doing this all in the cloud. I'm assuming, running this from a tablet won't be an issue. You'll just upload the photos, it'll do it in the cloud for you.
Well, I was going to say, whenever you take a photo on a phone,
gets uploaded.
It automatically ends up on your in a private gallery, which is great. You just don't have to think about it. It just does it.
Exactly. And I think this is I was at the Airtatu a couple of years ago, took 2,000 photos. It took a good few weekends to actually get through, sort out the ones that I thought were decent, and they weren't really that good. But then actually going, and I actually didn't mind processing some of them because I quite liked making it what I felt was better or more realistic, or more what I saw in the day because of my bad, I can't understand exposure and etc. But they're also doing a lot of that for you. You can hit a button and it will go away and actually do a lot of this processing for you. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. Yeah, there's lots of people saying this will replace Lightroom. And I'm
not sure about that. Because it won't ever, because Lightroom. The whole thing is it's a personal artistic thing, isn't it? But however, for all your everyday kind of snaps that you do take with your phone and you're just going for a walk or something, brilliant. So it can identify similar photos and go through it and pick the ones that... From what it says it's like common aesthetic values. So it can even make a judgment call on which one of the bunch is the best. So it's not just picking out blurry ones and ones that, have got people looking away. It's also thinking, oh, that's nice. it's unbelievable. And it's all done in, on their processing center.
One feature I'm not too sure about is awesome.
any feature that's called awesome is
exactly. Weird. It's detecting an image as part of a series, it stitches it together and gives an animated GIF. And I've already seen animated GIFs on Google Plus today, and it's very distracting seeing them running constantly. It's like, get out of my stream. I will unfollow you if you keep on uploading these.
But it can identify bracketing. So if you do a bracket on your digital SLR, it can make an HDR image from it, and that's clever. So you don't even have to worry about it, just get it to do it for you.
The most important point I need to make is GIF, not JIF. See if I hear one more American podcast and the Cox call it JIF.
You're going to fly out to America. You're going to get to their podcast studio. You're going to punch them on the nose and you say, it's GIF.
It's blood boiling. Almost as blood boiling as every podcast being sponsored by Squarespace, apart from us.
yeah, Squarespace. What about us? Do you use the code... Fuck off, Squarespace. Oh, dear.
Oh. Hashtag adult.
Yes. Google. Okay, I don't know why I keep saying Google, because that's all we're talking about tonight.
Exactly.
Hangouts. They've upgraded them. And basically, they have now unified Hangouts everywhere. So whereas before it was kind of very much a Google Plus thing to do a Hangout, they have now...
Oh, you had Hangouts was the video part in Google Plus, and then you had chat within Google Plus.
And then voice.
You had voice, but then you had like chat and talk on Android.
That's right.
And it was all a mess.
And now it's all... I mean, they have been... You can tell in the technology behind it, it had all been tying together, but now they've now given it the same name. And I went back to my phone today and found about a billion updates to all the Google apps. Now it's called Google Google Hangouts everywhere, and great. And it does again mean a crescendo happens every time someone wants to start a Hangout. It pings everywhere. It's unbelievable.
And a big plus point for me, it's out on iOS. It's on, and it's not just, it's universal. So it's iPad and iPhone. So it's not just usually a lot of apps that come out. It's iPhone first, and then it's iPad will come.
This all points me to this kind of trying to just reimagine not getting in arguments all the time and not trying to hold things back, just doing what they're good at.
And I tell you what, everything's in sync right now, unlike iMessage. Mm-hmm. And one other benefit as well, and there's a whole load of, I mean, we should point out, it lets you do, you know, you can do text, group chats, you can do video chats from all these devices as well. You know, so if I'm on my Android or iPhone, I can just say video chat and it works.
It's like FaceTime, but FaceTime everywhere. And that's, great.
It supports, they've got 800 different emojis in there. So there's a whole lot of emojis in there. There's read receipts. You can see who's typing within a group chat and who's doing the replying. And one really nice thing is that you mentioned it about the uploading photos into Google Plus. It happens automatically if you take one and it's a private album. It's the same within the chats as well. So one, so Shaco sent me a photo in iMessage. And it's, it's at Christmas. And if I want to get that again, unless I've saved out an album, I need to find Shaquille, scroll through. I can't do a search. I need to scroll through and find the photo. And I'm like, oh, going back months and months and months and months. And there it is. And this is like, go to Google Plus and they're all in an album. And it's a private album. You know, so if I'm doing like new logos for Digital Outbox, I could just ping it to you and Henry. And it's all within a private album within Google Plus. It's joy.
With plenty of storage space, which we'll come on to.
And it's only, I wrote last night, one flaw, it doesn't bring in an SMS, but Google have confirmed today that one of the future updates, it will bring in an SMS as well. So a bit like iMessage, it's all on the one place. So you're just seeing...
with being connected most of the time now, SMS, I think, is becoming more and more irrelevant.
I agreed. But you've always got that fallback that if you're not in a Wi-Fi area, if I'm out and about, not everywhere's Wi-Fi or 3G.
I think there's places I don't want to be contacted, though.
Well, I don't know. There's quite a few times. Maybe whenever I'm out in the hills, I still get SMS.
I want to be able to get my Hangouts and on the top of Ben Nevis. Button-free voice search inside of Chrome coming soon. You just have to talk to your browser, say "Okay, Google," and then say whatever you want to find, and apparently it will be searching for you.
And I can't quite remember the actual little thing you say, but it seems like it's kind of listening all the time.
It says "Okay, recognizes... Google." It is "Okay, Google."
Ah, right, okay.
Okay, Google.
And it's going to end in tears. But yeah, that's that. There's definitely a, and they emphasised during this part. I did actually watch this, but they emphasised that how search as we know it right now is going to disappear. That it's almost like a. And it does feel weird because we've been used to this kind of way of searching for 15 years, something like that, since Alta Vista and all that kind of stuff. It's certainly got quicker and smarter.
Wasn't it before
and,
Google? I think Google.
Well, there was a whole lot of things that we're used to, it's got quicker and smarter and it surfaces a lot more and it's a lot more intelligent. But it really feels like they're kind of almost starting afresh. And it's things like, you'll be able to say, where's my upcoming flight? And a bit like Google Now, it'll be able to just to surface that back and tell you, where's my package? Where is it?
And it'll know what you're talking about and then be able to find it. And it's...
This feels
and we've
like
seen it with
Star
Google
Trek
now.
Future.
We've seen it with Google Now, but it really is starting to, like I say, they obviously want to bring that front and center. And there's also been plenty of things appearing in Google, like, if you ask for conversions now, currency or whatever, it comes up with a little tool now, rather than just putting you to a site of a currency website. It now does the currency conversion for you, offers you a tool, you can change it. That's just, it's kind of some of the Wolfram Alpha stuff is, coming down. So it's trying to offer you answers rather than just find places that have got the answers for you.
Yes.
And let's say Google Now started it, and I think but for them to be able to do it, they need your life.
They do. And I guess that's one thing we maybe missed about Google Plus. There's still a lot of people that don't use it. And that's the advantage that things like Facebook still have. They have got that mass market. And although Google tout out that we've got X million, billion users, whatever it is, they quote, a lot of them are Google Plus users without realizing it.
Yeah, sure.
The way they migrated their accounts over.
But then that was their clever for doing that, wasn't it? It started that side years ago, probably now, when they put all those privacy policies together in one go. That's when this all started. So they clearly were thinking ahead. So Google Now, and I was talking about it, they've updated everything with more information. So they've got voice reminders and they're looking at your emails. They've got transit data now. So I assume that's going to feed out to be our transport network as well at some point. Location-based reminders, what else? There, just a whole ton of extra sort of, what's the word I'm looking for there?
I have no idea. Oh, it's gone.
There's a clever data word that I wanted, but it's gone. Never mind. You know. But yeah, so to make Google Now even more clever.
I can't think of the word.
No.
I'm obsessing about your word.
Maybe it's the word will ping itself.
Let's talk about Google Wallet instead.
Let's do that. Google Wallet, basically you can send an email and ping money to people.
Absolutely. IanDick@gmail.com. Bring it.
No, it's you sending money to other people. Oh, no, I guess actually, in fact, it doesn't matter. If they want to send an email to you, that's fine. So, yeah, it's all integrated in. Apparently, as long as you've got your bank or have a balance in your Google Wallet account, it doesn't even cost you anything to do it. Does make you think that you don't want people accessing your email, though.
Yes. Currently, US only, over 18, and it's free if you have a card attached to a bank account attached to your Google Wallet.
Yeah, it has to be a bank account. If it's a card, then you will have low fees associated, but no actual prices given yet. Google Maps, basically, they've got redesigns out or going to be releasing them, Android, but also iOS, including the iPad. Hooray!
I had a nerdgasm over these maps.
Yeah, so they are putting together Street View, Google Earth, and Google Maps all together in one product. Hooray, at last. So things like the best bits about Google Earth, so, you know, like OpenGL, WebGL, sorry, 3D mapping and all that kind of nice 3D jazz is coming to your browser. In fact, everywhere.
Absolutely. And I mean, the ones on mobile, again, and I think it's no surprise when they kind of brought out the iOS app, it was that kind of fresh new design, which we've seen with Google Plus. That seems, and people have said, oh, iOS is leading the way. It's not. It's Google designers are leading the way, and it happens a lot of the time. It seems to be hitting iOS first, then percolating over to Android. But it's not. It's nothing to do with iOS. It's just that's the design language they're wanting to use right now, and it looks great. It looks really, really good.
I mean, it was always a bit of a mystery why all these things weren't, you know, why was Google Earth different, really? I mean, and actually, often it was using different imagery and all sorts. So it must have been a bit of a two projects running in parallel, really.
I'm sure you've got a team of iOS developers sitting there, and some of the folk that did move over did have a long kind of history of, it's a bit like Facebook, you know, they did bring in a lot of good design talent, and a lot of them did work with Apple or do, you know, iOS apps.
They're also having, there's new bits, I think it's all part of Google Now with integration, so they're where we've got directions and stuff in Maps, I think it now will auto redirect you based on traffic conditions and stuff like that as well.
And a bit like when you mentioned it with things looking like Pinterest or Google Plus, there's a lot of that kind of card interface on Maps as well.
Everyone's loving cards at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, but also there's a lot of cards on Google Glass, and it does seem like that's their universal little kind of language right now. We'll have everything in a little card. Interesting.
Larry braved his...
Oh, my God.
It's ice cream time.
Well, it is. It's 7:15.
Yeah. So Larry braved his vocal cord paralysis to come and chat to the developers in a bit of a husky voice.
I'm telling you, he channeled the best of Steve Jobs. Not only, like, it wasn't as dynamic, but it was like, woe is me, I'm ill. And everybody was like, oh, bless.
But he came on and he... In a weird way, he did a question and answer session, which was apparently very open and frank, which was well received. But also, it was also at the end of a 3.5-hour keynote, so everyone was, are we done yet? Can we go now? Are you going to give us any more free stuff? No?
Well, the thing is, it was after 2.75 hours and he came on, and it kind of seemed a bit, he started off kind of riffing on technology, just kind of random, like, kind of thoughts. And it was all about, people were like, what? And
then you lost your script?
Yeah, and I think people were thinking, he's just going to do 5 minutes and that's us done. Let's go. Let's get our pixels. But the Q&A then kicked in, and it was, as you said, it was open. So fair play.
And I think that's probably why people did stick around in a way, because...
the doors were locked.
And he was quite frank about things.
Yeah, I've highlighted two, which maybe were a bit bitchy, because there was lots of other things he said that were quite positive. but there was one where it was like, he was talking about how, like, not all change is good, and we've not adapted, you know, systems, you know, with, like, how the world's changing and all that kind of stuff. And And he says, there are many exciting things you could do that are illegal or not allowed by regulation.
And he did kind of say, for the right reasons, but yep. he said, that's
good. We don't want to change the world, but maybe we can set aside a part of the world.
Wouldn't it be great if we had an island, right? Where I'm sure conversations with kids have, or taxi drivers, start like that.
It was just, I don't know. It just was like, you know, people are already worried about how much data Google has.
They've got enough money to buy themselves a country.
Well, there's an island off of Scotland getting sold. Yeah. You know,
What about Waterworld? Go and buy that.
And then John Gruber, he kind of, I guess it was a bit of fanboy baiting, but he was basically saying about how during this Q&A, Larry also said that every story I read about Google is us versus some other company or some stupid thing. I just don't find that very interesting. We should be building great things that don't exist. Being negative isn't how we make progress. Most important things are not zero sum. There's a lot of opportunity out there. And at first I'm like, well, what is wrong with saying that? And I think in some ways, I think this is what Google works like. Don't be evil. But clearly there's a lot of things they do that are evil. And just a few hours later, they then put a cease and desist on Microsoft saying, get rid of that YouTube app or a Windows Phone 8. And Microsoft come back and saying, well, following what you said earlier, we're happy if you provide the API to display adverts, because the big debate is adverts. They've got a YouTube app that doesn't show adverts. And Google are saying that hurts our partners. And Microsoft are saying, give us an API to display them and we're happy to do it, but we ain't taking it off. And Google have said, you've got until May 25th to get rid of that app.
22nd.
So next week.
And you know, I guess Microsoft's argument is you haven't given us the tools to be able to display adverts, so get stuffed. And Google are saying, well, but the API, just because it's not there doesn't mean you can have it on your platform.
And Google are saying that's our content, so stop peeing about.
I was going to say, and possibly stop chuffing us over all these, things, patents and stuff. So yeah, there's still obviously bickering going on, you're right.
But overall... I took more out of this Google I/O than I have any others.
Yeah, because everything felt more concrete, didn't it? And the fact that we saw it sort of almost straight away. So that instead of talking about wishes and hopes for the future, it actually felt like this is what we are delivering now.
Well, and I mean, compared to Facebook, you know, Facebook said, like, we're bringing out a new timeline. It'll roll out over the next 6 months. So it all feels very... You know, when it comes, it's like, oh, some people have had it and it's all a bit of a damp squib. Whereas they were like, here's Google Plus, brand new. We only have 20 users, so it won't take us 6 months to roll out.
And sure enough, we're rolling out user by user just to slow it down a bit.
And sure enough, it's rolled out. Hangouts is out there, and it all kind of works.
Yeah, it worked for us so far.
Yep.
Apple trying to keep up though. We're here too. We're still here. We haven't released any hardware, but we're still here. We've had the 50 billionth app downloaded. Some little geezer won $10,000.
Pretty much. And so the app was called Say the Same Thing. Bizarrely from the band OK Go. I've never heard of this app. It's seemingly they've designed a game. And so
must be
some,
really exciting.
Yep. Well, I was dying.
Mind you, I'd have it for $10,000.
I was dying for it to be Hangouts. Wouldn't it be awesome?
I think there'd probably be a filter in their list, yeah. So 50 billion, that's a lot. But Google have been catching up with 48. Like I say, revenue is a different matter.
But clearly Google's going to hit 100 billion way in advance of Apple.
100 billion downloads.
So yeah, that's 50 billion. And cynical old me, you know, it's kind of ironic. It's never like a big partner app. It's never one of the top 25s. It's always like, you know, something like that. And also, would you have predicted that in the day of Google I/O,
amazing,
we'll hit 50 billion?
Amazing. Like, almost like they were trying to get there, you know, get in the news.
Mm.
Not done with Google yet, even though we've moved on from Google.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. We gave you a quick break then.
34 minutes.
but YouTube, they've officially launched their paid subscription channels. So only to certain partners at the moment, but as a partner, they can now charge you for access to content on YouTube. And this is going to be huge when they get this sorted. YouTube is everywhere, on everything and in everything. And it won't be long before people like HBO can you tell I'm obsessed with HBO, can say, all of our Game of Thrones here have our offerings, and it's going to cost you X number of dollars or pounds per month, and it's going to be an alternative TV.
And it's in HD, and it's on every client, and it's everywhere.
Although I've had some problems with YouTube recently with it being a little bit flaky, generally speaking, it's a very reliable service, and I would, you know, if someone like HBO wants to deliver their content that way, I'm more than happy to subscribe.
So there's varying prices. They all kind of start from 99 cents a month. And there's obviously, they've not went into the kind of revenue share. You know, how much does Google take and how much does the actual, you know, partner take? There's 53 initial launch partners, some very bizarre ones in there, but also some things like, you know, Jim Henson Company and UFC, so stuff that we've kind of seen before.
It just suddenly turns YouTube from just something which we use into an amazing money-making tool. I know that it was always there for advertising, but this is just another layer on top of that. Now that
it is.
It's kind of like, why haven't they done it before?
Yep, and one other thing was live streaming. So they've been kind of late into the live streaming market.
But they're getting there.
They're getting there, and also one of the changes they announced yesterday was if you've got 1,000 subscribers, then you get live streaming.
Right, okay, brilliant.
You know, so for a lot of people, you know, they have that easily. You know, and it gets
yeah,
them away
like
from...
a tech podcast is going to have, you know, any good tech podcast is going to have lots of subscribers.
Thanks, Chris.
But you know what I mean? We don't have a YouTube channel. That's why people can't subscribe to us.
Squarespace.
Remember that code? anyway. Yeah.
What was it? FU Squarespace. Is that the code you put in to get 10% discount?
Yeah. Adds 10% onto your bill. but no, brilliant stuff. I hope it goes well. I mean, it's not often I hope that people are going to be charging me more money, but what I do hope is that people will just release content. That's what I want.
I think it's going to be what a lot of people have been waiting for. Mm-hmm. You know, so they've been relying on adverts and being Google partners, and I think Google obviously put a lot of money to them and helped them with the content, and that's how the channels have kind of built up. And this is the kind of next stage. It's, you know, let's start charging.
Still on Google, they've unified all their storage. We touched on this earlier. So whereas before you had storage in your emails, you had storage for docs, you had storage in YouTube. I don't know if YouTube's including this. I guess it's not actually. But basically, you had storage in a number of different services. They've brought all that together. So Drive, Google Plus, and your email have all been brought under the same banner of your total allowance. Your allowance has gone up to 15 gigabytes. And it really does start turning Google Drive into your online hard disk.
It is, because Drive has changed. It's not just like Google Docs anymore. You can just throw anything in it.
I was going to say, because Docs changed to Drive, and now Drive's making more sense. And it sounded like Absolutely. A weird name to start with, but now it's not.
Yeah, no. And the fact, I mean, 15 gigs a lot for free. You know, when you look at, like, Dropbox was 2, but you could easily, you know, build that up. You know,
Dropbox, was it $50 for an upgrade? 200 though, so they quite a big difference.
Yeah.
But this is surely another aim to get people to upgrade, just to, you know, to a nice sensible amount, because 15 gig is fine to start with, but if you really do start using the cloud properly, then it's going to go quite quick. And I'm sure people will.
Yeah, but I mean, $10 a month gets you 200 gig with Google Drive or with Google now. You know, so that's, you know, if you look at that over a year, that's buttons really.
Yeah, and especially as it say it's so now, you know, if they can really get it together, that's, you know, even your gran can understand storing stuff in the hard disk in, you know, Google Drive. They've also, on their Play store, they've added the ability for developers to reply to user comments, which is, I think, a good thing.
App developers on the kind of Apple side have been asking for this for years, because so many people...
slating, don't they? And
so many people have been affected by one-star reviews, or people just you know, writing rubbish. You know, other developers, we've seen other developers, you know, spoof accounts, and it's all ending up with, you know, like, you know, a great app, but it's got 30 one-star reviews because he's got all his mates to go and slag it off and just write rubbish. And it does affect, because you look at it and go, oh, it's got a really bad rating.
And, you know, there's loads, it's Tuesday and I'm on a bad mood. You know, it's
and some of the stuff's just plain wrong. You know,
people
and,
but
just...
also legitimately, if someone puts up something that a developer has fixed and is, you know, it has been fixed, then at least now you can have that reply and that loop back to say, yeah, been fixed, thanks for letting us know. Almost, you can tell when a developer will be active then. So
and also it encourages a relationship between the, you know, the consumer and the developer. You know, so the consumer, the you, if you put a comment up or a bad rating up or even a good one, and you get a reply, you will get an email back telling you about it as well. So it's not just like you're it all feels very.
Very eBay anyway, isn't it? So eBay gets to put that loop back in, and most, you know, review sites have that feedback loop now as well. Just to give both sides of the story, and you need both sides. Basically, because it's not necessarily very fair. I mean, there's not. I don't trust most people who write comments on online anyway. So there you go. Lulzek, it was changing tack. Lulzek, the hacker group. They were in court a while back now, but they've got their sentences. Is that right?
Yep. So a total of 7 years. The most was 32 months, and the least was 20 months suspended. For one of the guys. And basically the court said that the actions group were cowardly and vindictive, and this case should serve as a warning to other cyber criminals that are not invincible. He's obviously been watching GoldenEye and thinking, I will use that quote.
BlackBerry, they're also wanting to keep us keep attention and kind of failing. But they're basically BlackBerry Messenger. Now that Google completely released a full suite of apps everywhere that work, BlackBerry have decided I better get BlackBerry Messenger out everywhere, and so they're going to release apps for that across iOS and Android to try and remain relevant.
Desperate.
I mean, they kind of when you have an announcement that says we're doing this because it's a positive move for the platform. This isn't desperate at all. You know that it's not really a positive move for the platform, and they're pretty desperate.
Yeah, this was talked about, you know, 2-3 years ago,
which would have been rumors. Perfect.
Yeah, because there was no such thing as iMessage. All the messaging systems were all over the place.
They were selling and their handsets like by the bucket load to kids who didn't want to pay SMS charges and who could talk all day on BlackBerry Messenger.
Yep.
And so they missed it. They missed that boat.
But the guy, I mean, Thorsten Hines is a guy that's the current CEO of BlackBerry. And it was a couple of weeks ago he was making some things about, you know, tablets are dead. You know, nobody wants a tablet, basically because they don't have one. And, and it's like just talking bollocks.
You're talking stuff to try and make yourself feel better.
Yeah. So we're going to see it in the summer. It won't have all the features initially, but over time it will do. So I think at first it's going to have, I think it was just the normal text chats and group chats, but over time, they'll start to bring in, you know, voice and video, etc.
Problem is their BlackBerry Messenger market's just shrunk. So
it's shrunk, and also, we're saying it's shrunk. They're saying they're getting 10 billion messages a day, twice other service.
Okay, fair enough. I could be talking completely out of stuff.
It was news to me, but then I did read elsewhere that WhatsApp, they're 8 billion outgoing messages daily.
Okay, you know, so there's a lot going on.
Exactly.
So I take that back. That's not fair.
Well, there's a lot going on, but it's a shrinking market, and it's also
momentum's the word. They are releasing a new phone, the Q5.
Don't care.
No, nor do I. It's basically back to their kind of fairly small touchscreen with a QWERTY keyboard at the bottom, but it seems like the BlackBerry core market likes that style. So they're going to stick with it. This is meant for more emerging markets. It's a sort of lower powered version, not as the Q10, stuff. So
the Q10 was the one they've just released a few weeks ago that set sales records in one store in Britain.
People gagging for the QWERTY. Anyway, there you go. So there is a Q5 now as well. Good for them. Nokia. Wow, we're going around the mobile markets today. Nokia, we're still here. Hello, we're doing Windows Phone. Remember that. Basically, they've released a nice new flagship, the Lumia 925. I don't know if it's supposed to be a 925.
I have no idea, but it's finished in... 925? It's finished in aluminum.
Aluminum. Yeah, so they're all kind of metallic-y shape. Very good-looking phone, actually. In that kind of weird embedded... I don't know how to describe it, where it's got almost like a block of metal with a phone embedded in it. It's kind of that kind of look. go and look at the pictures anyway. Yeah, you're right. I did.
I know what you mean. I actually thought it was weird. The buttons and the edges look as if they were just tacked on, but the actual phone looked nice, but the buttons all looked a bit like, I don't know if it was just a photo and it was a heavy flash. It all just looked like, somebody's designed a nice phone. It's like, oh crap, buttons.
Oh no, I knew we'd forgotten the gym. But basically, the stats are there. It's got a 4.5-inch AMOLED. It's got high enough resolution. It's got enough memory. It's got a camera. It's got Carl Zeiss lenses. Carl Zeiss, he must be earning shitloads. Okay, that parent advisory. What's happened tonight? I'm excited about my race on Saturday.
I could never have told.
Yeah. Basically, it's got all the stats. It's just running Windows Phone. Any problem with it?
Exactly. And that's, so many reviews said that it was a great piece of hardware. It was the right weight. It felt good. But totally let down by Windows.
I've never used Windows Phone actively. So it's wrong of me to take a position on it just by being a sheep and listening to everyone else.
It's a Windows Phone that I've been waiting for, said nobody.
To quote.
And I wrote that at the end of this, when I cut and paste that article, and I was like, nobody wants this. I don't know anybody that wants this.
The only person I know who's got a Windows Phone likes it, but then he's never had a phone before, so he just doesn't know what else is happening.
He likes it because he doesn't know better, is basically what you've said to him.
Like my sister, when she had a BlackBerry and she thought it was great until she had an iPhone, then she realised it was rubbish. Facebook and AT&T, they were HTC first, which was going to be the Facebook phone, wasn't it? It had Facebook Home installed out the bat and off, and basically it's only sold 15,000 units. Has been a bit of a flop, and they're going to pull it.
They dropped the price last week from $99 to 99 cents, and then a week later they said, right, that's enough. Okay, 5 weeks.
So HTC have pretty much said, well, we'll take that back because we probably use that hardware for something more productive. Thank you very much.
It's interesting. The Verge, two of the guys on The Verge, said that it was probably their most used phone. I mean, one of the guys was carrying three phones, but he was finding because of its speed, size, and simplicity, that was the one he was going to the most.
But what they didn't capture the salesman. Because it's not the Galaxy S4, it's not,
it's not an iPhone, and it's not the latest whiz-bang Android device.
So they didn't make any, they probably didn't earn any commission on it and all those kind of things, so never got caught traction. And, I'm sure many a phone that works well goes out the door just because of those reasons. Windows have updated themselves. We talked about this the other day. Windows was named codenamed Blue. Then they decided to call it Windows 8.1 instead. And basically, they will be offering this as a free update on the June 26th. It fixes Windows 8 issues, but also makes it available on different form factors.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Pretty much. I even kept their blog title, Windows Keeps Getting Better. it was just class.
Needed to. EA, in a weird retraction, have decided they're not going to use Online Pass anymore. So Online Pass was their in-box code that you had to use to unlock online features and additional features of games, mainly put in there to stop games being able to be sold secondhand. And they've taken it away because apparently players didn't like it.
I'm amazed. Nobody predicted this. It also makes me think that these couple of consoles coming out are going to really lock us down hard.
So they don't need it anymore.
I guess we'll wait and see.
And it's true. If we've got a download service on a console that you can only get games as download, then you don't need an online pass anymore.
No, this just feels like a really bit of cheap PR now.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're right. I
know it's really cynical because at the end of the day, none of us like this. Even the whole, you get your game, you plug it in, you've got to get your type in this crappy 25-digit code.
Scrape off the code, enter
the
code. Why
couldn't you have made this easier? Yeah. I'm in even a smartphone app or some way of actually doing it, or I've got a Kinect camera. Can you not read this bloody code?
Just scan the bloody thing.
Yeah. But I want to say good, but at the same time, very cynical.
I agree. I hadn't really picked up on that. I hadn't thought that far forward. But this is kind of them going, yeah, look, we're doing this great thing for you. And now all the games are going, what? Oh, wow, thanks, that's really good. And then going, ha ha, suckers. You slammed. GT6, apparently it's coming out for PlayStation 3.
Oh, cock.
Yeah, so it's on its way. Everyone thought it was going to be a PS4 title just because it took 50 billion years last time that they were trying to release it. It will likely take 50 billion years this time, and it'll be 3 years after the PlayStation 3 has been, put away to bed, and they will have to convert it to PlayStation 4 anyway.
Yeah.
My analysis. Apparently, it's going to have all the stuff you've got in GT5, but with additional locations and about 200 more cars. No saying whether they're going to be high definition cars or they're low def pixel.
Exactly.
I'm just pixel machines.
so burned from that last game, because getting away from some of the graphics were really iffy. The handling was a bit poor. Online sucked.
It was a great, awesome game as far as games go. It's amazing, but it just didn't.
Well, certain tracks and a few cars made it a great graphical demo.
Yes. Okay. That's a good way.
And I know I'm being really harsh.
Yeah, it is harsh.
But I just felt when you moved from that to something like Forza, I just felt like ooh. And then if you compared it to some of the kind of PC racing games that you've been playing, it was night and day.
And I have to say, I bought a PlayStation 3 so I could play it and really play. I mean, and to get a Blu-ray player. And I've only used my PlayStation 3 for Blu-ray. It got traction for 2 weeks. That was it, really. They've been working with Yokohama, though, to try and get a new tire and suspension model going on. KW is their suspension partner on this, to try and get their model up to scratch. And they reckon they're going to have downloadable content and all that kind of nice jazz.
Rubbish.
Yeah.
We promised this before, monthly downloadable content with new cars and tracks. And it's like, I think there was like one track or two tracks came out over the course of like 2 or 3 years. What a load of crock.
Yeah.
I'm just really negative on this one. It's such a big brand.
The only way they can do this is if it really is GT 5.5 and they're just calling it GT6 to try and get sales.
But they've kind of done that already, because they kind of had that kind of GT5 came out, and then there was a whole load of like updates that came out. A lot of them, costing a bit of cash.
Doesn't stop EA releasing FIFA every year and giving a new name.
No, but generally those games over the last few years have been decent. I just felt really let down with this.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty horrible game, actually. I know I'm being particularly harsh, and lots of people love it and probably still play it, but you're playing it wrong.
Chris Hadfield, he's rocked the internet this week. What's he been doing?
Well, this the last 6 months. So Chris Hadfield is basically he's been tweeting from the space station. So he's a Canadian astronaut. He's been the kind of he's been in charge up there over the last 6 months. He's been tweeting been tweeting some fantastic photos. And not just putting a photo up but actually putting a photo up and putting some context to it. Yeah. So here's the beautiful spring clouds over sunny Scotland. Obviously never been to Scotland. But all around the world putting up some fantastic photos. And he's also been doing some really good videos. So things like and taking questions from people, it wasn't just one way. He was actually talking to lots of people on Twitter. Because you could see the replies.
Striking that conversation up, yeah.
Yeah,
he was a good social meteorite, wasn't he?
Absolutely. And doing clever things like, there was that conversation he had with William Shatner, and he replied as if he was talking to the captain kind of thing. And it was like, stuff like that just wins geeks.
Yeah, of course it does. Like, and he's been doing this for a long, over however long he's been up in space, yet it's taken this week and him coming back to suddenly trigger everyone actually to be viewing his content and...
So they posted a video, and the video was Space Oddity. So his cover of Bowie's Space Oddity.
Ground control, Major Tom. Where did that come from?
I don't know.
It's almost like Dave Bowie's in the room.
Well, yeah. I have no words. do you know what the worst bit is? He sounded all right.
Yeah.
because when I saw it, I thought, oh no, it's been awesome, super awesome for like months and months and months, and this is going to come out and it'll be like a total disaster.
He actually could sing a bit.
But he could.
And it was like the best music video ever. This it was like special effects when they weren't special effects. It's awesome. I love it.
And the best bit was Bowie replying to him on Twitter as well. I'm saying Bowie, one of his PR guys, replied to him on it. But it's still, you know, for that little special moment that you think, oh, David Bowie said hello, Space Boy. Or Spaceman, or whatever it is, what he said.
It was, anyway, yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, say, go and look at his content, because just seeing those pictures, just unbelievable, really. And just,
right, so the
time
website...
lapse of from the International Space Station, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, awesome. So if you go to, there's a website called viewfromabove.co, and that's basically pulling together all the photos that he's been tweeting up over the last X months. Yes. And it's a great one just to, you know, go and spend half an hour looking through them and being... Just remembering the
how insignificant and small you are.
It can be an awesome play.
Blue. That's it. Well done, everyone. 55 minutes in, we've done a podcast on Google I.O.
So,
go on.
Picks.
No picks today. No picks today. Please, no picks. No picks. None of my good ones that I pick. So that's the end of our podcast, amazingly. News doesn't stop here though. So I think next week you've got some more big announcements. When's the Xbox? Yeah, there we go. Good one.
Next Tuesday.
Digitaloutbox.com if you want to find out more about us. Email info@digitaloutbox.com if you want to talk to us, and also can talk to us on Twitter and Skype, Digitaloutbox. You can find out how I get on in my racing this weekend, academyracer.co.uk.
I do have a care point, which sounds really like kind of like enterprisey officey care point. I did swap.
I'd
RSS
just like
feeds.
To interject with a care point here.
Yeah, I did swap RSS feeds over last week. Hopefully that all
touching
<seamless.
laughs> wood, fingers crossed. Please don't explain.
What for me? I can download it. And so I tested it everywhere. It seems to be working fine. This was me. Oh, sorry, I was getting away from FeedBurner, which just kind of sucks.
There you go.
Doesn't suck, but
to be honest,
Google will
kill it. If it does all, you know, screw up, then no one's going to be listening to hear that we've changed it anyway. They're just going to imagine that we just disappeared.
Yeah, I really should put a post up as well.
They never visit the website.
That's a good care point. That's a good care point. I did tweet it as well.
Thanks for that. Where can we find more care points from you, Ian?
IanD.net.
Perfect.
Where I might be ranting soon about Edge reviews and nines and all that kind of nonsense.
Excellent.
And Twitter, Sweeper, Twitter.
And do you want to spell Sweeper? Because I always think that no one's ever going to be able to find that anyway.
I always have to check. SHWEEPA.
There you go. So thank you very much for getting this far. There is no more. Goodbye.
Goodbye. You know, back in the day, I really used to grab Dean Dick, but I always felt a bit kind of dodgy about having a cock in my Twitter handle. And now somebody's
got it. Your Twitter hand. Yeah.
Yeah, now somebody's got it, so.
There is another Ian Dick in the world.
Maybe I could be the real Ian Dick.
With a little blue tick next to it.
I'm verified on app.net. Because you can do it yourself, you just need to... no, but you basically... Basically, you basically say, I'm on this domain, and then you add some code in at your domain, and that does the verification. And it works really well, so now you can verify that the guy that says he's this guy is actually the guy that can post here as well, so it actually makes sense. I just don't post there.
When's that renewal coming up?